I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the readings, especially as I was driving back in the snow and looking at all these things. And one of the things that I really found amazing is just where we start. You know, we have this beautiful reading from Isaiah, this wonderful opportunity in Isaiah that encourages us and gives us so many incredible things. And what a profound relationship we have with God. What an incredible relationship we have with God. That we find ourselves in such a place where God speaks to us and says, you know, we somehow think that God has forsaken us. That we're somehow out with God. That he's overlooked us or forgot. And so he gives us an analogy as near and dear to our hearts as possible. He says, could a mother even forsake her child? Could a mother forsake her child while it's still growing? Literally, without tenderness for the child in her womb, this idea, could a mother possibly overlook the child growing inside of her? And we think to ourselves, well, of course not. How could a mother possibly forsake the child in her womb? How could the mother not care for the infant in her womb? You know, I've never experienced pregnancy myself, but I have been assured by many mothers that oftentimes, even if you tried to forget, the child will kick you in the kidneys or the bladder or any number of other places. It's hard to overlook a kid who regularly kicks you, you know? There's this idea that we couldn't possibly overlook the child. We couldn't forsake this child. And yet, as near and dear as that relationship is, as close as that relationship is, unfortunately, we might encounter a time when a mother not care for that child. You know, I'm reading the numbers. In the city of New York, among black mothers, 3 out of 4 pregnancies end in abortion. That means that out of black mothers, only 1 out of 4 kids actually makes it to birth. And that number is staggering to me. That number is just absolutely mystifying. The number of people that we lose, the number of children that don't even have a chance with their mothers, let alone anybody else. And I find that distressing. And yet, at the same time, I find comfort in the fact that even the author Isaiah takes it one step further. He uses the analogy, you know, could the mother forsake her child? Could he even forget that? And he takes it one step further. He says, even should that happen, I won't forget you. You aren't forgotten. This idea that even if the mother forgot her child, I will never forget you. And I find that such a powerful moment for us, especially as it is time of winter, genuinely as a time of winter. We come into a time of cold, it kind of isolates us, it sort of draws us more inside, we're not nearly as inclined to be out and active in many ways, and we kind of lose track of these things sometimes, and it's a rough time. It's a rough time for a lot of people, and we kind of start to wonder, you know, have I fallen through the cracks with God? Have I just sort of slipped by? Am I overlooked? Am I forgotten? And quite to the contrary, we're not. And yet, even with this consolation, even with this assurance from Scripture, even with this idea that God is so close to us, you know, I even know from my own personal experience that it's still not the case always that we feel remembered. We still sometimes wonder. It still kind of nags at us sometimes. I remember in my very first year of seminary, I went off, my parents dropped me off, I had no car, I was 525 miles from home, I was at a seminary in the middle of nowhere. Now there's a Walmart across the street, so now it's a seminary and a Walmart in the middle of nowhere. But when I started, it was in the middle of nowhere by itself, and I was there. There was nothing. And in a sense, I kind of felt overlooked by God. I kind of wonder if I had just sort of fallen through the cracks. I still had 8 years of seminary in front of me, and that sounded like a very intimidating number at the time. And as I sat in the chapel, in the silence in that chapel, in the middle of nowhere, I started to wonder if God even remembered I was there. It was very isolating. Went home for Thanksgiving, it was beautiful. Spent about a month at home for Christmas break, that was fantastic. But about this time of the year, in the cold, in the winter, I knew I was in for a long haul because I had to make it to the end of the year. And I began to wonder if God even remembered I was there. And it's curious to me to reflect on that, to look back and to think about that, because if I, in my daily prayers, committed to my prayer, actively pursuing God, wanting to serve God, wanting to be a priest, as close as I was striving to be to God, if I by myself there could still feel that isolated, If I could feel that alone and that kind of cut off, I imagine we can all experience that in various degrees. And it can be very cold. It can be very isolating for us. And yet, we have this assurance. We have this assurance, it's written in Isaiah, that we are not forgotten. And I think about this, and I was thinking about when my nephew was younger, when he's 9 now, but when he was even younger, when he was still crawling, or even before he could crawl, I remember a few times I'd sort of hold him up, kind of like a Simba moment. I'd just sort of hold him up, let him see the world from a new perspective. He'd just sort of look out. The world, you know, was just at least 5 body lengths away from the ground. I mean, it's a whole new world up there for him. And I'd hold him out there, and for those first few moments, it's just incredible. And you just sort of look at all of the new perspective, that he could see people eye to eye. He just sort of had this new look on life. But you know, the longer that I held him there, the longer that he was there, he'd become real nervous. He'd become real distressed, because suddenly he wasn't sure how he was there. And he just wasn't, it would just make him regularly uneasy, and just that sudden uneasiness. And I'd pull him back into myself, and I'd hold him, and it was okay again. And I think it's such a powerful image for us, because when God holds us up, and when God takes us and shows us all the incredible things of our life, and God gives us this great perspective on the things that we're doing, and the things that we're striving for, and the things that we should be striving for, it's that very similar idea that suddenly we don't know how we're there, and it can isolate us, and it's suddenly overwhelming. And we feel far from God, when quite the opposite. He's the one holding us up. He's the one who's there, who's holding us in that position and keeping us there. And so it's such a powerful reminder to us that this little passage from Isaiah, this little line from Isaiah, actually holds so much more for us, because it reminds us of that very simple reality that even if we feel forgotten, even if we feel isolated, even if a mother forgets, God has not forgotten you. Not now. Not ever. And so what do we do there? We know that we're not forgotten. But what's the next step? What is it for us to be in that position and then have to respond to that? Well, that's when the gospel comes in. And Christ reminds us of that very simple fact. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because all the other stuff comes along with it. Yeah, we get to worry about where our food comes from and clothing and all of these concerns, and they are sometimes more pressing concern than others, and some days it's more and some days it's less, but we have to keep that focus. That focus that says that the first goal, the first interest, is seeking the kingdom of God. Being focused on the kingdom of God so that we're bringing about that greater conversion, not only in ourselves, but for those around us. Not only for us, but for all those who are called to it. It's in that invitation. It's in that closeness to God. By seeking his priorities first, by putting the need to put God first in our life, that we genuinely get to know that he holds us. And how do we do that? How do we seek the kingdom of God first? Well, it comes in very straightforward ways. It starts in keeping the commandments. We don't always keep the commandments. Sometimes we mess up. That's what we have confession for. If you're holding out, April 9th, I hear Father Tony wants to hear confessions from 9 to 1 o'clock, you know, so go ahead and take advantage of that. Well, I think I'm funny, but, you know, there's that out there. We keep our commandments. We keep close to God in keeping the commandments. We keep close to God in how we interact with our neighbor. By being good to our neighbor, and by really spreading that kingdom of God by our action first. It's through witness of our action. We should be excited to be Catholic. People should see the smile on our face. People should see that joy that we have. Maybe not through the smile, but through the joy by the actions that we do. And really share it by that very fact that we are a redeemed people, and we should be excited to be such. We share these things by living the Beatitudes. It's not just about the commandments and not doing one thing. It's about living the Beatitudes on the other end. About being that positive example, that light of Christ to others, so that others might know that kingdom of God is at hand. And most of all, the thing I want to stress to us most, especially since Lent starts this week, if we're going to put the kingdom of God first, that means we've got to keep close in our prayer. That means that regular communication with God. That means checking in on a regular basis, staying close to God in the things that we do, and really allowing that focus to guide us in everything else that we do in our life. So we make that daily prayer a priority. And we make it a part of our prayer, not just to talk to God, not just to make our demands, not just to say, I need this, this, and this today, and you need to come through for me on this. But on the other end, to let God speak to us. To have that moment of quiet, where God speaks to us, shares with us, and informs our hearts of what He's calling us to do. We focus on today, because today has its own evil. We'll worry about tomorrow tomorrow. So we keep the commands. We keep that prayer. We give witness to Christ. Because we are held close and near to Him. Closer than even a mother to her child.